Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will revisit our conversation on China as we will spend some time reviewing a macro and market update as well as highlight positioning considerations when it comes to China as well as the broader emerging market equity space. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back emerging market strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Zhengchen Yu. Zhengchen, thank you as always for dropping by. Nice to be on with you on this Friday morning. And thank you for spending some time with our listeners and their clients.
Thank you for having me, Dave. So great to be back.
So, Zhengchen, it has been a while since you and I last spoke. There is a lot to catch up on with respect to China. I know we can talk for hours on this topic, though. For our listeners, can you provide them with a brief download of key things in China these days to be mindful of?
Happy to, Dan. Yes, a lot is going on in China, which has attracted investor attention as well. I think maybe to kick off, let me try to give you a three-point summary of China. First, after a strong first half of 2025, China's economy is facing renewed headwinds. The property sector remains a major structural drag, with related investments still contracting double digits year to date, and retail sales growth has slowed as earlier support from the trade-in subsidies fades. Export growth is also decelerating, mainly due to a payback effect from earlier front-loading, especially to the U.S. as companies shipped ahead of key deadlines. Deflationary pressures therefore have worsened, with August CPI back in negative territory. We think in response, policymakers are likely to deliver further monetary easing. For instance, we think 50 to 100 basis points of triple R cuts and 20 to 30 basis points of policy rate cuts by the year is likely. Fiscal stimulus will also remain targeted, mainly focusing on property and consumption, but the timing of which may depend on progress in the U.S. trade, the U.S.-China trade talks as well. So overall, GDP growth is expected to slow to around 4% in the second half, which is down from 5.3% in the first half. So for the full 2025, we expect the growth to hit 4.7% this year. Second, despite these challenges, China is also seeing important structural shifts. Consumption is evolving with more spending on experiences and services, and sectors like travel and entertainment showing some catch-up potential. Indeed, there is some statistical evidence that China's service sector is still underdeveloped. It accounted for only a little more than half of households' final consumption. That is compared to more than 60% in other developing nations and up to 80% in developed markets. This gap highlights significant room for growth as Chinese consumers increasingly prioritize quality of life and experiences. The emergence of innovative products, quality services, and a strong appeal to the younger generation also could help unlock the potential. On the other hand, tech breakthroughs continue, especially in AI, where monetization is gaining momentum and domestic innovation, such as DeepSeek's large language models, is reducing some reliance on foreign technology. Advanced manufacturing and select consumer sectors also remain resilient, supported by policy and ongoing innovation. Third, on the external front, great uncertainty has eased somewhat, but it still remains. Encouragingly, the latest U.S.-China trade talks in Spain made some progress, including discussions on a possible, TikTok deal and a willingness to extend the current tariff truce past the November 10th deadline. These steps show both sides are trying to find some common ground and could even set the stage for in-person meeting between President Xi and President Trump later in the coming weeks and months. However, tensions still remain. Recent actions like the U.S. entity list restrictions and China's probe into NVIDIA are the examples. As a result, we do not expect a major trade deal in the near term. So against this external backdrop, China is doubling down on its strategic goals, accelerating supply chain diversification, investing in self-reliance on critical sectors, and continuing to advance initiatives like the Made in China 2025 initiative, which is now close to 90% accomplished despite many headwinds over the years.
There's a lot there to consider. How should global investors balance the opportunity and risk when it comes to investing in China?
Sure. Maybe first, when you look at China's equities, especially mainland China A-share stock, which have seen a notable rally in recent weeks, driven primarily by liquidity and multiple expansion, massive excess household savings, which is about 5% of GDP, have been increasingly flowing into equities as onshore investors shift out of bonds. This influx of capital has fueled strong momentum in the market. However, the sustainability of this rally, in our view, is still uncertain. As I highlighted earlier, macro conditions remain challenging, with slowing growth, weakening investment, and a widening property drag. Earnings revisions for the broader market are still negative, and policy support has been quite muted so far. So ultimately, we think fundamentals will determine how long this liquidity-driven rally can last. Now, second, despite the rally, China's equity market is not showing signs of euphoria. Valuations at below 13 times PE, even after a roughly 35% year-to-date rally for MSCI China, remain attractive. Positioning is also not super crowded because overall global investors still largely underweight this market. Other indicators such as retail sentiment or leverage also suggest the rally is far from the exuberant levels in previous booms like the one in September 2024 or the one in back in 2015. The macro backdrop, admittedly, still is more complex and challenging than in past reform cycles, and fundamentals have yet to show broad improvement. So, therefore, our highest conviction within China still remains in its tech sector. Innovation accelerating, especially since the DeepSeek moment earlier this year, and a more supportive regulatory environment. Tech companies are rapidly advancing AI strategies. They keep investing in cloud infrastructure and advancing in areas like robotics and biotech. The upcoming fourth plenum is also expected to at least maintain support for the industry, while broad market earnings revisions are negative. Tech stands out as a bright spot with medium-term earnings growth of 22%, not yet fully reflected. So for exposure to AI-driven growth, we like platforms with strong AI monetization adoptions, cloud leadership, and global expansion, as well as leader in the EV and robotic space. Now, beyond tech, the search for yield is also supporting some sectors such as financials, utilities, and telecoms, which would benefit from resilient cash flows and supportive policy.
Now, if we look more broadly beyond China for emerging markets and specifically emerging market equities, will the strong rally continue as we're coming off the Fed rate cut this week?
Absolutely. It's been quite a year for emerging market equities. They deliver about 25% price return year to date, outpacing the U.S. peers by nearly 12%. Most of this rally has been driven by re-rating, which is about 70% of the gains, while currency appreciation and some modest earnings growth have also contributed. Looking ahead, I think there are several factors that could keep the momentum going. The global search for diversification, relatively light positioning in many EMs, secular trends like AI adoption, ongoing corporate governance reforms in places like South Korea and mainland China, and a significant valuation discount still compared to developed markets, especially to the U.S. Historically, Fed rate cuts have also been a tailwind for emerging market stocks, with mid-teens returns in the year after the first cut. Plus, if EM currencies strengthen further, that could give central banks more room to ease and support their economies, which would be positive for local stocks as well. That said, at this stage, we are neutral on emerging market equities in the very near term, following the strong performance. Instead, we prefer to focus on markets and sectors with strong domestic demand or clearer structural growth themes.
And then you mentioned that you like China tech within the region, though what about any other key markets you would like to highlight for us today?
Sure. Beyond China tech, there are few other markets we are particularly constructive on by now. First, Brazil. Markets there have been largely shrugged off the recent trade-related shocks and are now focusing on more on the country's economic outlook, the central bank's policy direction, and the upcoming general elections next year. We see further room for Brazilian equities to re-rate higher from here, even after their recent strong run, especially as earnings growth gradually start to recover going into 2026. Second, India. The government's earlier than expected tax cuts on over 300 goods and services should give a real boost to India's near-term consumption and help strengthen domestic demand. And this move is also supportive for corporate earnings. So we think both the expected earnings recovery and India's pro-growth fiscal stance are largely still underappreciated by the market. So we would look to add exposure on market pullbacks.
Well, Xing Chen, thank you very much for dropping by and for sharing your insights into China and the broader emerging market equities landscape with our listeners and our clients. And do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.